If you'll take your Bible and start with me tonight in Acts chapter number 2, the first time that we see the church, we find it here in the second chapter of Acts at the close of Peter's great message and call to repentance. And the Bible says that God began to add to their number. Immediately, people were being saved. And I want to take you to that passage and just let you see sort of the church in a nutshell as it begins. And then for us tonight to be reminded about who we are as a church. Why does it matter that Britt David is here? Why does it matter that we're located right here on this particular corner? You know, reading back in the history of records that were kept here for our church, it was a very strategic place, even though the old photographs showed a few dirt roads that were around and just a few houses that were started. But they found a corner and decided that's where a church needed to be located. And so as strategic a place as it was back then, 65 plus years ago, it's still a strategic point of the lighthouse for the gospel of Christ even today. What is true in Acts chapter 2 is true in our day today as well. Listen to what the Bible says concerning the church, beginning in verse number 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I believe that what God did then, God wants to do now. Even though his church now is not simply located in that one specific place, but yet his church now it finds itself in local expressions all over the world in places just like this. I believe that God still wants to add daily to his church those who are being saved. I want to applaud the 40-something people that came tonight, the nearly 40 people that came tonight for our Grow Team and for Bob for putting that together as we get ready to take the gospel right here to our own neighborhoods. Several months ago, Bob made a statement in one of our meetings that just gripped my heart, and I've not been able to get away from it. And that was that people who live within the shadow of our church, may they never be able to say that no one from that church ever came and told me about Jesus. You know, we're going to Kentucky and we're going to Haiti this year. But we've got to reach our own neighborhood with the gospel of Christ. And for God to take those people, to see them follow him in obedience of baptism and place them, plant them into the life of a church where then they may continue to grow just as we are to continue to grow. If he's going to continue then to add to his church, then we need to know what this church is about, what this church is really here for. Several years ago, we adopted a theme here. We're a church to call home. A church to call home, and that's what I want to remind you about tonight. That's who we are. It identifies us specifically as a church. Home is a place of belonging. It's a place where the family gathers together. It's where those that are within that home are related to one another and related by blood. We are related to one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ with God as our Father and Jesus' blood coursing through the spiritual veins of every heart that's here. It makes us a family together. Does that mean that families always get along and always see everything exactly the same? No. But it does mean that we walk in unity. Just as you've heard it said so many times, somebody might pick on my sister, but I'm the only one that gets to pick on my sister, right? You know, I defend them no matter what. We defend one another because we are family together. And then when we gather together in this particular place, we gather together as who we are. As who we are. I don't have to conform to some other image. I'm being transformed into the image of His Son. So if that, you know, if that takes on a look of a suit and tie, then so be it. If it takes on the look of blue jeans or shorts, then so be it. If it takes on the look of white skin, then so be it. If it's dark skin, then so be it. We are together as a family, which means that when I come together with my church and I am at home, I can just be myself. Do you ever get frustrated? Maybe you get frustrated here. Y'all not, but sometimes we do. We get frustrated here. We can't even be ourselves. But if I can't be myself amongst my own church family, I don't think I'll ever be able to be myself. Whenever we have guests that are here and I get to meet them before the service, I just always tell them, just make yourself at home today. There's something special about just making yourself at home, being at home. But home's an acronym too, isn't it? It reminds us of what we're to be doing and what it really means to be called a church to call home. I hope that you'll take some notes tonight and write these things down. Really, they're by way of reminder for many of you. But I've put the verses up on the screen for you as we go through, and just reminding you tonight about what it means to be a church to call home. First of all, the H stands for honoring Christ. Honoring Christ. We want to honor Him in everything that we do. That means that I want to do things with excellence. It means that whatever I do as unto the Lord. It means that whatever I do in word or in deed, that I do it with excellence, trying to please Him and not necessarily trying to please anybody else. I'm grateful and appreciate it when you go out and you say, Tim, boy, that was a good sermon today. Or I know Mark appreciates it when somebody said, boy, that music was good today. I don't intend to speak for Mark, but I just speak for myself. I have an audience of one that I want to please. And if I've pleased Him and stayed faithful to His Word and I've led people in a period where they can really worship, I'm happy no matter who's mad. You know what I mean? H stands for honoring Christ. Let me give you a couple of verses. In John chapter number 5 and verse number 23, the Bible says that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. When we honor Christ, we honor the Father. And we know that the Spirit that works within us is always, always seeking to honor Christ. He is always pointing people to the Son. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says this, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Notice it's the Gentiles. It's the people that are outside our church home, outside of our church family. Our conduct should be so honorable that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Others would glorify God simply because our conduct has been honorable and we have pointed people to Christ. So how practically, how do we do that? How do we put an H on our church, on our home? How do we honor Christ? I think we do that with vibrant, celebratory worship services. I think that's what we've had. I think that they have been uplifting and have driven me to a point to where I really want to worship, where I'm digging into God's Word and I'm hearing specifically what it is that He would have me to do. I'm following through with that in obedience. When we gather together on Wednesday nights, whether it's in prayer meeting or it's in those age group Bible studies or age group choirs or different choirs that are meeting, we're honoring God when we let our needs be made known unto Him. When we're praying for one another, be they sick or be they lost. We're honoring Christ as we come before Him and make those needs known and say, God, we know that this is what You want to do, and we are dependent, we're utterly dependent upon You to do these things. When we teach those children how to sing and to sing those praises back to the Lord, we're honoring Him. As our teenagers and some of our children, our college students get together and they study God's Word, they're honoring Christ when they do those things. When the choir, the celebration choir, will meet together after that, and we spend time praying together, by doing things with great excellence, we are honoring Christ in everything that we do. Let's make it personal. How do you honor Christ through your church membership? By being here and being a part of this fellowship, how does that honor the Lord? I think you need to search your heart on that one. I think you need to search your calendar on that one. I think you need to search your checkbook on that one and see if you can honor the Lord in everything that you do. First and foremost, we want to honor Christ. Secondly, the O stands for being on mission. For being on mission. That we understand that the Great Commission is our mission as a church. I would remind you tonight of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I would remind you out of that verse that He does not say simply to reach your Jerusalem, and when you've completely saturated that, then you can move on to Judea and Samaria, and when you've accomplished all that, then you can go to the rest of the world. No, He says that we are to go to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, all at the same time. We are responsible for every area. There will be some that will say our grow teams are the best thing ever because we've got to reach our neighborhood. Why would we send a team all the way to Haiti? Why would we send a team all the way to Kentucky when we have so many needs right here? And the reason is because we want to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. He has commissioned us to do that. He has commissioned us here. He has commissioned us there. He has commissioned us everywhere. Listen to the Great Commission. I would remind you of it in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 18. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth." Let me stop there. We generally pick up and say that the Great Commission begins in verse number 19 with the "go therefore." The Great Commission begins in verse number 18 because Jesus says, "I have authority over your life. And I have authority over your church. And I have authority over your family. And I have authority over your city. All authority has been given to Me in heaven and earth." And now He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And sadly, sometimes we stop there, don't we? Read on, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. It's not a project that you're involved in. Missions is not just something that you simply say, "Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that for the Lord." Jesus said, "Without Me, you can do nothing." You may attempt a number of things for Him and never accomplish anything with Him if He is not with you. There is in that Great Commission but one imperative, and that is to make disciples. It's the only one. We tend to think that it's go. It's not go. It's make disciples. That's what He's called us to do. That's what He's commissioned us to do. And then the three participles that are there, that tells me how to do it: by going, by baptizing, by teaching. I'm to fulfill the Great Commission. That may be the most thorough. The Acts one may be the most strategic. But when Mark quotes the Great Commission, that one's my favorite. And I like it just because it's simple. You know, I like things simple. I'm not going to say the whole kiss thing. You can just think of that one on your own. But go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our mission. That means that whether they're here or whether they're there, we're to always be on mission with Him. When they planted Britt David Baptist Church, they planted it to be a lighthouse. They planted it to be a mission station. They may not have envisioned the web of roads that are around this place, but they knew. They knew that homes were coming to this place. They knew that new roads were going to be built, that new families would be moving in. And they knew that lost people would be moving into this neighborhood in droves. And I want you to know that they have come. And it's our responsibility to take the message to them. And so we're going to be on mission. So how can you do that? Gotten ahead of myself a little bit, haven't I? Our grow teams, you can be a part of that. Bob, that was fantastic tonight. I just publicly want to say thank you for taking on that leadership. That's got to be the most difficult role, is keeping up with that so that when those teams get here, everything is set. Their visits are ready. They're ready to pick up their packet and go. People are ready to stay behind. They're ready to write notes of encouragement, make phone calls, send out emails, to gather together in that prayer room, brand new prayer room, and just pray. How can you be on mission? You can be a part of a grow team. We have five teams that are going to rotate every week. What Bob has asked a commitment on is for you to come one of those 5 weeks. And because of our home groups, it's really going to be one every 6 weeks. I don't think that's too much to ask. Hello, sorry. Did I drift you off somewhere? It's not. It is not. You need to be a part of the mission teams. Maybe you want to be one of the ones that goes to Kentucky. Maybe you want to be one of the ones that goes to Haiti. Maybe you want to be one of the foolish ones, like the one standing in front of you that's going to try to do both of them. You need to give to Lottie. You need to give to Annie. We're having to play catch up in our International Mission Board. For years and years, we have lived in the red. And you know that as a family, you can't do that. And we know as a church that you can't operate that way very long. And we operated that way too long. And because we operated that way, now we're having to ask missionaries to come back home. I have to say that has been, at least in my lifetime, and there have been worse things I know in the Southern Baptist Convention through their history, but in my lifetime as a minister, I don't think I've ever seen a sadder day than calling missionaries home. We need to give. I know for the last 3 years, the national goal has been $175 million. And we have not yet reached that goal any of those 3 years. And this year, we need to reach it. We need to give to those. Lottie now is in our rearview mirror, and Annie is right in front of us as we begin to pave the way for missionaries to serve right here in our own nation. That's the H and the O. The M stands for ministering to others. And when we say others, primarily we're referring to those who are outside of our church family. Even though sometimes those same kind of needs appear within, and we will take care of those needs as well. We're looking for those who have needs. That just as we see Jesus offering compassion in the Gospels and then ministering to their spiritual needs, we would seek to do the same thing. Last month I met a pastor whose church has adopted a very simple slogan. others. That's it. Others. It doesn't stand for anything. It's not acrostic. He's not trying to make it complicated. It's just about others. I like that. Listen to this verse from 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. He knew he was talking to Baptists. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In your bulletin, it says that every member of our church is a minister. It's not just fluff. It's real life. You are a minister of the gospel of Christ. You have been given specific gifts by God Himself, who the very calling on your life, He has enabled you to do through those gifts. You say, Tim, I just don't know. I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I don't know what God's call on my life is. Well, let me just tell you, those aren't two different things. He has equipped you for what He has called you for. And He's equipped you specifically to do something that somebody else can't do. And that somebody is probably me. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 40 is one of the verses in a very lengthy passage when Jesus sums it up in the midst and says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. When we minister to others, will we be taken advantage of? Probably. Will somebody abuse the privilege? Probably. Will somebody come and receive assistance here and then go to another place and receive assistance somewhere else? Of course they will. People always find a way to work around any system. But systems are not. Charlatans are not. We have been given a command to minister to others. And we've been given the assurance that when we minister to others, in essence, we are ministering to Jesus Himself. Would it change your mind at all about helping somebody if you thought about who you really were helping was Jesus? I think it probably would. So how can we do that? How can we put the M into operation? The benevolence ministries. Mission Columbus, I think, is one of the most spectacular benevolence missions anywhere I've ever seen. It may not have the scope of what goes on in Arlington, Texas, but it is just as faithful, and it is designed as to operate with just the same amount of excellence. Mission Columbus offers 20-plus ministries to people in our town. Some of those are job training. Some of those are computer training. Some of those are house living training. Some of that's giving away food. Some of it's giving away clothes. Some of it's simply giving the gospel. Whatever it is, there's an avenue there. But can I remind you of this? Mission Columbus is our ministry. It's not a ministry that's set apart out there somewhere that we simply give money to every week to help support them so that they can be in operation. That is our ministry. It is the ministry of the churches of the Columbus Baptist Association. Any person in here can volunteer at any point. And there's some of you who do, and there's some of you who need to. When there's parents' night out, when there's nursery, when there's preschool going on, when there's an adoptive family, we're ministering to those folks. E. E stands for edifying one another. when we minister to others, we're primarily referring to those outside of our church family. When we're talking about edifying one another, we're talking about those primarily within our church family. And that word edify means to build one another up. We're building them up in their faith, helping people to mature in their faith in Christ. Just as Peter exhorts us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're looking for opportunities whereby we can help people to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me give you these couple of verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11 says, "Therefore comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing." Wouldn't that be a good word for Jesus to give to Britt David? To be able to say, keep on edifying one another, just like you're already doing. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19, Paul says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and pursue the things by which one may edify another." It's to be a pursuit. You don't pursue things on accident, do you? You pursue something on purpose. And so we purposefully want to pursue those things, those opportunities whereby we may edify, build up the faith of one another. And then finally, I would remind you out of Ephesians chapter 4 that the reason for the various offices within the church, the pastors, the prophets, the evangelist, the teachers, he says, is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then I skip down to verse number 16. And speaking of Christ, he says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." Notice what happens. It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's what we're to be doing, aren't we? So how do we do that? We do that through Sunday school. We do that through our home groups. We do that through other groups like WMU. We do that through like the prayer breakfast and the work day. We do that through accountability partnerships. We need to edify one another. If this really is going to be my church home, then it has to be a place where I feel like I belong. And it has to be a place where I'm doing all of these things, where I'm honoring Christ, where I'm on mission with Him, where I'm ministering to others, and where I'm edifying one another. Here's the real question. How are you making this church a home? Let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes with me. There may be one of those things, there may be more, but there may be one of those that really stands out to you. Maybe it stands out because that's your passion. That is your joy. That's what you're involved in. Man, there's nothing quite like that one. Would you thank the Lord for the passion that you have for that? Ask Him to open up opportunities for you to do that very thing and make a difference in the life of another person. It may be that one of those or more than one of those stands out really because of its absence or because of its weakness. I don't want a church to call Hom. I don't want a church to call Ho. I don't want a church to call me. We need to have all of those things in practice. Ask God to give us a burden. And again, to give us opportunity to do those very things. He wants to use you. I know that. The question is, how's He going to do that? What are you going to let Him do? Maybe tonight you just want to come and pray with one of us. Me or Jim, and you just say, hey, would you pray with me about whatever? We'll do that. Maybe after this morning you were thinking about that church membership thing. You look and you say, you know what? Either that's the place where I need to become a member, or that's the kind of church that I need to be a better member for. Maybe you come and just tell us that. We'll help you with that. Or maybe just gather in the altar and just say, God, help me. We talked a lot today about our grow teams. I would encourage you to leave your place tonight and just come to the altar to pray for your specific team, to pray for some other teams, to pray for the neighborhood, to pray for God's intervention, whatever you want to pray for about that. Listen, this is your altar. You use it tonight. Okay? Father, we pray that in the same way that we want to honor Christ in everything that we do, we want to honor Him right now. And so this right now is our response back to You. We pray that You'll take it and that You'll be blessed by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.